Uploading. Tsunami Black Hole Megamix 2K3, now.
The fate of the whole world is in my hands.
You foolish man. I am Ajito Ryo Master. Allow me to reunite you with your ancestors.
Episode of Tom's Prerogative right here on the Absolution Network. I am, of course, your primetime host, Thomas Primetime Mattis, and I welcome you back again to yet another episode to where we're kicking off 2012 right. On this episode, we're taking the Wayback Machine all the way back to 2010. As we're covering an anime that, like Gundam Wing, I feel will cause the not like Gundam Wing, but just like Gundam Wing caused, you know, the anime generation of the 2000s, I feel this will cause the anime generation of the 2001s and beyond, 2010, so I say, once it finally comes to America. That's right, we're going to be covering an anime that is subtitled. Now, this is an anime that, when it came out, it actually had a lot of criticism against it from comic book fans and anime fans and all types of fans, but when anybody actually sits down and watches it, everybody always likes it. I've never heard anything bad about it from anybody who's actually sat down and watched it. Now, what anime am I talking about here? Well, I'm talking about Stan Lee's Hero Man. That right. The anime Hero Man that was created by legendary Marvel comic book creator Stan Lee. Now, like I said, I really believe this is the anime that can get people into anime for the next 10 years. And the reason I say that is because this is an anime that strength is really on its story. Just like Gundam Wing. It doesn't, you know, portray itself, you know, screaming out, "Hey, we're anime!" It actually tries to build itself on a story, and on a story that most Americans would be familiar with, being that it is a superhero genre story. I'll get to so-called superhero genre later, as that's something that apparently got me in trouble before, because there's a lot of people that have an issue with that. I'll explain later. But, you know, taking place in America, similar sites, as we'll get to, you know, this is a story that can appeal to all types of people, even ones who aren't animation fans. I'm not even talking about people who aren't anime fans. I'm talking about people who generally don't watch animated shows can enjoy this, because the story is so solid and so good. So with that being said, let's get right to it with synopsis and credit. First, the cast list. Mikiko Komatsu is Joseph Joey Carter-Jones. Ryota Takuchi is Hero Man. Mayu Ubata is Lena Davis. Ryohei Kimuru is Simon Sai Kaina. Cho is Matthew, or I should say the Professor Matthew Denton. Arisawa Ogawasawa is Holly Virginia Jones. Sumi Saki is Grandma Virginia Jones. Hiroki Tochi is Axel Hughes. Uncho Utsuzuka is Korag. Makoto Yashimura is William Will Davis. Yasuri Matsumoto is Dr. Minami. Bin Sasaki is the President of the United States. Eri Miyajima is Keisha Jackson. And Atsushi Ai has the distinct honor of playing the most important character in this animation. He plays the cameo itself, Stan, which I don't think we're going to have any question about who that English dub actor is going to be once Stan Lee and Bones finally gets this anime to America, which reportedly they're trying to do. I don't think there's going to be any question of who Stan's English dub voice actor is going to be. And if it's not who we all know it's going to be, I actually think there will be an uproar. But with all that said, let's get to synopsis. Hero Man is the story of a young American boy by the name of Joseph Carter Jones, a.k.a. Joey Jones. I love those Stanley names. Who, one day, a freak lightning strike filled with cosmic power strikes his house and consequently his toy robot, which he calls Hero Man, that he had just rebuilt. The lightning strike gives him the power to transform his toy robot into a giant robot. No, not giant robot, but, you know, Hulk-sized robot. And him and his new Hulk-sized robot have new powers, and they go and fight off things like alien invasions and mad scientists driving face-looking giant robots. You know, Silver Age stuff. But with that being said, we'll get into all the Silver Age and all of that stuff when we get to the story, because there's so much to talk about with story. I really can't wait to start talking about parodies and comics and all that stuff. So, let's get right into it with our review of Stan Lee's Hero Man. To start off by talking about music, as we usually do, and we're going to start off with opening and ending songs. And before I start with this is something I'm going to talk about again when we get to talking about the overall feel of the music in the series. But again, I think a common theme that through the music and animation and story is Americana and you know, what makes America America, because it's a lot of the optimistic American themes that we all know and love is sort of the same type of themes that we feel like on the 4th of July and stuff like that. But the first opening is Roulette, as you just heard. It's done by Tetsuya, who is the, I believe, if I remember right, the lead singer for Lake Arctic Seal, which is a wonderful Japanese band that's been around for, I think, about, I want to say, 10, 12 years. They've done openings for things like Full Metal Alchemist. They did a song for Final Fantasy The Spirits Within, which was actually a number one hit in Japan. But again, this great, cheerful rock song, as you heard. I mean, all these two extent are sort of rock songs. And again, leaning towards music created in America. But this is sort of a very pop rock, you know, a lot of cheerful tunes. I love the way the guitar is used. I love the guitar solo in the middle of the song. It's just a song that gets you right into wanting to watch the series, you know. And then I love the animation that goes along with it. Just very comic book feel is also another thing I feel with this song. Is it sort of implements, you know, really the main influence on this anime series, which is American comic books. You know, it has a very comic book feel, which is something we'll be talking about in our first ending as well. But yeah, just a pop out song gets you really excited. And this is also something I'll talk about when we, again, talk about the second end, or I can't speak today. The first ending. But, you know, the first opening ending is really, you know, it's more geared towards a younger viewers, more teenage viewers. At least the songs are. Where I feel is, you know, the second set of songs, the second opening and second ending is more mature sort of song, more adult contemporary rock, you know. Which, you know, also sort of fits with where the characters are in the story. You know, for the first series of where the first and opening and closing are used, you know, they're still learning their powers, they're still young. And by the time the second opening and second ending comes along, you know, they've matured a bit. And so I think that kind of matches with that. And I like that little touch right there. So with that, we're going to move on to the second opening of Hero Man, and kind of like Gundam Wing, yeah. I have the openings and closing. So here, let's take a look at the second opening, which is Missing. Hitori. Was Missing by Kylie, K-Y-L-E-E. One of the actual notes I had is that, you know, this sort of reminded me of Michelle Branch. I don't know how some of you, maybe younger, like, teenagers now, may remember who Michelle Branch is. Like, about 5-6 years ago, she was a, sort of pop rock singer that sort of liked this, and didn't sound exactly like this, but sort of had the same feel with music. Some wonderful, wonderful songs. Still does wonderful songs. But, you know, that sort of, that was like the first name I could feel that maybe I could compare the singer's song style to. But again, a wonderful song. Again, as I said before, you know, you had sort of that more mature aspect of the song. Again, just, it seemed to emanate hope and everything. I love sort of the guitar solo. Again, a different guitar solo than the one that was in, you know, first opening, where sort of more classical sort of 80s type of guitar solo. Well, this one was more of a contemporary type of guitar solo. And I just love how, again, the whole hopefulness of, you know, the song. you know, how everybody sort of bonds around, you know, Joey, and again, the animation is awesome, and especially towards the end. When Hero Man and Joey jump onto the F-22 and they're flying into the sky, I'm like, hell yeah! And then the ending with it all across the American flag, like, you don't get more American than that. And in fact, I actually listened to this song, and one of the things I actually think of is, like, this would make a great opening theme to a Spider-Man animation.
I really do.
Which, again, bringing it all the way back to Stan Lee, but this is the type of song that would go along with Spider-Man. Again, that makes sense, the whole, because Joey sort of fits the same mold as who Peter Parker is, which is the everyman. You know, and that's part of why we love him. But again, I'll get to that a little bit later. With that, we're going to move on to our next song, and it's the first ending, and I really love this song, and this is Calling by Flo. Calling by Flo, and when I listen to this song, it sort of reminds me how, like, kind of look at Flo, who's a band that they did, I believe it was the third opening for Naruto, like the original Naruto, which is, I'm blanking on the name, Fighting Heroes, or something like that. By the way, it's an awesome music video, but, they've done that. They've done a lot of good music, and when I first hear them, especially here, my first thought goes to Three Doors Down, and things like Kryptonite, and Here Without You, and all that type of stuff, and this is just a great song. Again, very comic book feel to it, pop rock, but at the same time, a little bit more subdued than the opening, but it's got some great music, and the guitar solo in the middle is just... That's my favorite guitar solo of the four openings and closings. It's just awesome. And then again, combining with the ending animation, which is in a Marvel comic book. And so why do you know it's a Marvel comic book? Because that's how because when you had that first opening, the cover, that's how Marvel comic books used to look. And, you know, it's all based on art, and then all the scenes are basically comic book panels. It is an awesome animation. I love the contemporary art of it. Oh my god. It's one of my favorite ending animations of all time, and the music fits it perfectly. Again, just this song is so awesome. The sort of, I want to say family tones of it, but I mean family in sort of like the group dynamic, you know, group of friends as a family, and how we're connected and how our friendship makes us a family. And you definitely feel that with the song. Again, love the guitar solo. Love the singing of Flo. The lead singer, whose name is escaping me, is an awesome singer, and I love his work. With that, we are going to move on to the final song. This is the second ending, and this is My Hands Are For You by Mass Alert.
ぶつかってきた君の涙も笑顔も心にある。どんな苦しみだって、もう怖くない。二人ならどこまでも行ける。僕が一人じゃないこと教えてくれたんだ。
And that was My Hands Are For You by Mass Alert, and I love this. Again, like I said, I love all these, but I love the sort of more Spanish, sort of Southwest American melodies. You know, again, definitely influenced on sort of Latino sort of music there, you know, with the guitar. Actually, when I heard this song, I was trying to think of what band to me kind of actually first make me think of this band, and I was actually thinking Matchbox 20, you know, with like 3AM and Superman and Closing Time, you know, sort of the traditional sort of acoustic guitar, not acoustic, but sort of, rather than being an electric guitar, just playing normal sort of guitar and that type of stuff. But again, I love the song. I love, like I said, the Latino sort of Southwest American melodies and influence in this song that is obviously here, especially at the beginning. Again, more subdued than missing, but it definitely has this feeling of never giving up, and I love that feeling. This is the type of song I can imagine a sports athlete playing in his ear to get him hyped up for the big game, because it's just tough. You just feel sort of the passion from the singers talking about never wanting to give up and fighting for your friends and your family. And again, I love the ending animation here. It's so creative, the ending animation with both these endings. And with this one, the idea of having the characters actually, with the backgrounds being actual pictures from the United States, like pictures in homes and crosswalks and parks, and putting the characters in a three-dimensional sense in those pictures is absolutely awesome. For instance, there's one where Hero Man, Joey, and Axel Hughes are walking down the street in the city where skyscrapers, and you see the picture, and it's like a picture of L.A. and L.A. skyscrapers, but you can see them in the background, and then, of course, in the foreground is them walking and them talking. It's such an awesome thing, and this song goes perfectly with it, and it makes you want to watch the next episode immediately, and I guess you should be thankful then that the episodes are, you know, pretty all out on Crunchyroll. This is one of the reasons why I really want a second season, because I want to see what they come up with openings and endings for a second season. But yeah, endings and openings, all of these, as you've heard, are just absolutely awesome. They do the openings do exactly what they do. They get you psyched for the anime. And the endings do a great job of being a bit more subdued, but gets you excited to go to the next episode. And it also helps you fall in love with these characters. Overall, the feel of music is, the music in this series is great. Like I said, it's Americana. It's, you know, it's rock, there's some hip-hop, a little bit of techno, which really is an American creation. I know people may hate that. But just some wonderful, wonderful songs. There's a heavy metal song in there that's done in a final episode that's awesome. And again, it's just Americana, and I love this soundtrack. I'm actually searching for this soundtrack right now because it's such an awesome soundtrack. It's got so many wonderful songs, as I'll talk about. There's a song called At the End of the Rainbow, which is an insert song, which Joey's sister sings, which is beautiful. There's this very cheerful song. I'm blanking on the name of it, and I really don't want to go on the internet search, but it's just, it's like played during when, like, they're on the beach, in the episode where they're on the island, and like when they're on a date, and it's just a joyful. I'm trying to hum it, and it just screams America to me, and that's really my main point, is that all these songs, they scream America. It's like, it's the music of America. The music of the United States of America, mind you. And it's like, oh my god, this is music I'll hear on the radio when I'm driving to the supermarket or going to a cousin's. And again, it brings you into this world of like, I've never been in this type of world in an anime before because it's something I'm familiar with. It's something just around the block. You know, that ability to bring people into this idea of being in an area that they're familiar with that could be just around the block from them. It's something really no other anime has ever been able to do. I mean, there's been animes that, you know, had scenes or had small arcs taking place in the America, but there's really been no anime that's been firmly entrenched in taking place in America, the entire anime, and it makes you feel like you're in America. And that's not to say, also, there's not great sort of comic book songs as well. There's this great tension song there that makes you feel like you're in a comic book. It's sort of techno, but it has this great sort of string section that really helps the tension of the scenes. It's used perfectly in a couple of scenes to help tension. And at the same time, you don't feel like you're like, oh, here's this music, I should feel tense. You automatically feel tense, but it flows perfectly to help you feel tense with that scene. But my absolutely favorite of the soundtrack songs that aren't opening on closings is what has now been known as Joey and Hero Man. And this is the song that was used for, like, the preview of the anime. You know, da, 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 da. If you believe, da, 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 da. I only know the word believe. But, you know, I think everybody who's heard of this anime has heard that song, and it is a comic book song. That's what it is. It is an American superhero comic book song. And I could equally see this song being put with Superman or Spider-Man or the Green Lantern or Iron Man or Captain America. You know, that's how awesome this song is. It's one of those songs that you see it with those characters because it's the superhero song. This is Hero Man's John Williams Superman score. This is Hero Man, Spider-Man, Danny Elfman score. You know, that's what this is. And I really wish I had the song, even though it's about only 2 minutes and 40 seconds. But that song, it gets you up. It makes you cheer for Hero Man. It usually played when Hero Man does succeed and saves the day. And so it makes you get up and cheer for him. It's so awesome. I love the music in this series. So, with that being said, we're going to move on to animation. I'll be right back with my coverage of animation after this word from our sponsors.
James T. Kirk. Don't you read history?
What did you say your name was? Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
Which one of you is the captain?
Do we violate the treaty, Captain?
Red alert! All hands, battle station!
What are you scratching at?
Incorrect.
Just get down to it, please.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle stations.
No!
Monthly Mondays, available the second Monday of every month at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
And we're back, and moving on with animation. First, we're going to talk about the overall style of the animation, because again, this is Bones. This is the same people who did Star Driver, and they have very distinct style, which I personally love. They use a lot of sort of polygonic techniques. I'm trying to think of the word. That's like the best word I can think of. But thin, crisp, but yet bold lines. But here they add a sort of a softness. And that's sort of the American touch that they add to this animation. You know, where at, you know, if you watch something like Star Driver, you see a lot of edges, a lot of right angles, a lot of that stuff. With this style, though, they added a little bit more roundness. Sort of that Disney style, actually, if you think about it. With the characters and that stuff. To give a more warm, more American feeling. Again, going towards that American sort of style. Wanting to scream out America. Everything is sort of built around that sort of common theme of America. And how awesome America is. That's what I'm saying, but, you know, it's that whole idea of, like, what makes America great. So, with that being said, let's move on to character designs. First, we have Joey Jones, and I love Joey Jones' style. I love the yellow and the black of, you know, his outfit and how it compares to him. I could complain about the Justin Bieber haircut, but, you know, that was a style before Justin Bieber made... popular, you know, that was popular when the Hansons had screaming girls going after them. So I considering the fact that they really did kind of want to make him a bit of a pretty boy. I mean, there is no way about it. You know, Joey Jones is a bit of a pretty boy, but at the same point in time, and I think why I don't necessarily always see it or really see it at all as a pretty boy, unless I'm really, really thinking about it, is the fact of, you know, again, story-wise, what he does. But again, he does sort of scream off that sort of geek, that nerd, you know, sort of like what Peter Parker was. Again, going back to Stanley, going back to Peter Parker, it really took that idea of the everyman and wanting to design the everyman. And I think ultimately that's what Joey Jones' design is the sort of the everyman design. He's not the bulking sort of bodybuilder that a lot of people draw when they draw Americans. Or, you know, sort of that jock or whatever. He's the everyman that every American can connect to. Very much like Peter Parker. You know, he doesn't look anything like Peter Parker. Moving on, we have Hero Man. And I love this design. Again, first off, taking sort of the classic toy American robot, which that's what Hero Man is. If you look at Hero Boy, which is... what the robot, actual toy robot is called. Again, it's based off sort of that traditional American toy robot that's evolved over the years. You see sort of those classic, you know, you can see sort of the classic evolution from, you know, the classic, you know, box robot with the hands and arms, and I am robot, I move. To sort of, it looks a lot like the robots that you might go to the store and see today. I know I've seen a similar looking toys in Target and in Walmart and Toys R Us. So, yeah, it definitely looks like the toy. And then his, you know, Hero Man form is just the natural progression of that to a larger size. But, you know, the use of white as a predominant color, I actually like. Considering that, you know, where the red is and where the blue and, you know, how it makes white stars, it kind of makes me think of, like, an American Olympic team jersey, if that makes any sense. But again, just sort of American, I think they're right about a touch. It's something different. They could have made blue the predominant color, and I think a lot of people would have thought, oh, it's Captain America. So I like that they went with the white as the predominant color and then had blue and red not be as predominant, but still there and still important. So it was something different. So you can't look at this and say, oh, that's Captain America. But at the same time, you look at it and say, oh, that's America. Yeah. So, but I love the color scheme. I love sort of the power in his shoulders. Very Hulk-like. Yes, I'm going. You're gonna hear me go comic book a lot because, hey, comic book is part of this series, whether you like it or not. But I love sort of that Hulk-like appearance sometimes that he can have. Moving on with Lena Davis. My first thought when I saw her character design is, "Oh, hi Gwen Stacy, how's the neck?" I'm so terrible. it's Gwen Stacy. If you are a comic book fan and know anything about Spider-Man and have seen Gwen Stacy, you cannot look at that and then look at this and say and not realize it's Gwen Stacy. It's Gwen Stacy. Thankfully, her character is a whole lot more interesting and valuable than the original Gwen Stacy is, which, for those who are anime fans, who aren't comic book fans, Gwen Stacy was a little word I can't say on a PG-13 podcast, but it starts with a B and rhymes with itch. No, she was, you know, she basically first went after Peter because Peter actually didn't show any interest in her. While everybody was, you know, fawning over her, he wasn't, and that what first made her interested in her, and she generally fell in love with her, or love with him, excuse me, you know, that's what she started out with, and a lot of times she was just plain boring, especially as a girlfriend. So, but again, yeah, design-wise, Lena Davis, first look, it's Gwen Stacy in a cheerleading outfit, which, and you know what, again, it's also sort of, I think when most Japanese people think of American females, they think blonde, they think cheerleader. So again, it does go to a bit of a stereotype, but because it's so like Gwen Stacy, actually I think that's the genius of sort of it looking like Gwen Stacy, is that you actually think that so much that you don't realize it's also a stereotype of traditionally what maybe other people in other countries think when they think of American females. You have Psy, who I believe he's supposed to be Latin. He also has a big-ass afro. And let's face it, afros are American. We may not know what the hell we were thinking in the 70s, but it's American. But he has that big afro. He's a character that immediately jumps out design-wise. I love the color scheme of his shirt and everything. I love his remote control skating board. No, he's the perfect sort of best friend of the hero, and he, design-wise, and the fact that he is a, you know, before he becomes a hero, he, design-wise, he's a bit more powerful than Joey, and that all changes, you know, I just love that design. Professor Denton is sort of the crazy, scientist. There's really nothing more to his design that, you know, he's got the traditional lab coat and everything, and, But, you know, he definitely comes off as that sort of warm, sort of comic book professor that helps the hero. Like a Dr. Hamilton in Superman. You know, fun, cheerful, wacky with his facial movements. But design-wise, there's really nothing more than, you know, he's a professor at a school and he wears a lab coat. Korg is, you know, when I first saw the aliens in Korg, I thought, oh great, we're being attacked by the aliens from Space Nebula M1. It's only a matter of time before Gigan comes down. But you know, they're giant cockroaches that are purple. It's a comic book alien, is what it is. And again, I love the fact, again, going with sort of that Silver Age concept. You know, Silver Age, Bronze. It's always hard to remember what's Silver Age, what's Bronze Age. Silver Age is like 60s, early 70s. Early to mid-70s, and then I think late 70s, 80s with the Bronze Age. Or anyways, you know, it's sort of that area. Like, it definitely like an early 70s type of alien that you'd see in a comic book. And I sort of love the fact that they went with that sort of design scheme of making it giant cockroaches and stuff like that. Will Davis, very much like when Lena Davis came out, I said, oh, hi, Gwen Stacy. When Will Davis first showed up, I said, oh, hi, Flash Thompson. How's the legs? I cannot believe that Flash Thompson is Venom now in the comic books. Spoiler alert. But, yeah, for those who don't know, Flash Thompson apparently lost his legs in the wars he went to. First it was the Vietnam War he lost him in. Then it was the Iraq War. First Iraq War, and now it's the new Iraq War. That's besides the point. But, we didn't know off topic. But yeah, Will Davis, again, it's Flash Thompson. He's the typical bully. And it's that sort of classic everyman bully that he's designed around, which is what Flash Thompson was. And again, it gives a great contrast to Joey, design-wise. Especially, I love the idea that, you know, he's, again, he's the jock. Again, it's going off stereotypes, but still, it's that sort of everyman bully that we can all know. It's that classic bully, classic comic book bully design. So, I really love that about that. Holly Jones is very bright design-wise. I'm trying to think of what to say without going into story, but, yeah. You know, I love the design of sort of the, again, this is another American stereotype, but sort of that classic sort of female rocker. Definitely an influence of something from the 80s there. Yeah. I love her hair. I love the sort of the color, the pink and sort of purple colors that are in, streaks that are in her hair. It just screams out like American rocker, female American rocker, you know? So again, going towards a group of people that really is another group of people that people think of when they think of America, and that's sort of metal. Next we have Axel Hughes, which, with a name like Axel, again, going back to 80s, we'll get to what Stan Lee did later, but yeah, the people at Bones had to be a big Guns N' Roses fan. But Axel Hughes, again, he's sort of that modern sort of U.S. secret agent. You know, he it kind of reminds me of Will Smith in Men in Black, you know? But, you know, very young, crisp, clean cut with, you know, the black suit. And yet at the same time, when you see him in normal clothes, he's, you know, he's that sort of mentor that, you know, that guy that the hero tries to inspire to be, you know? And I like that about his design. And then finally we have Dr. Manami, who, what else is to say that he's the mad scientist? He's got the mad scientist mustache. He's got the mad scientist hair and glasses. Everything about him screams mad scientist. Especially mad Silver Age scientist. Or I should say Silver Age mad scientist. That may be a better way to say it. But yeah, and I love it. And it just, the way he twitches and all his facial emotions just make me laugh. I remember, because we watched this in my anime club, and when we got to the whole arc where Dr. Manami was fighting Hero Man, and he was controlling the robot, and there's the part where he goes, EMP, and he spells it out, and I swear to God, because we were in a Perkins restaurant, we were in the back room of a Perkins restaurant, and I swear to God, people were ready to, like, what happened, because we were dying laughing. You could hear us outside the restaurant. That's how hard we were laughing, because it was so funny. And it matches perfectly what the mad scientist is. And so I love the animations of the twitches when it comes to Dr. Manami, and just the look of it. It's just the mad scientist. With that, we're going to move on to the fighting sequences. And I love the fighting sequences. It's not just all punchy, punchy, fight, as some of my friends would say. I can't remember who said it first. It was like Thomas DJ or it was Scott Gardner. Anyways. But, you know, it's more than that. There's actual, you know, there's actual, you know, battle tacticianary, you know, there's tactical engagement in the battles, you know, there's reasons for doing anything. It's not, oh, I'm going to punch it and it's going to break. You know, they're actually doing things. They're actually preparing for the battles so that, you know, it'll make the battles easier. You know, for instance, early on in the series, you know, them using the subways and the collapsed buildings to basically do guerrilla attacks. You know, that's more than it being punchy punch. At the same point in time, I love, ultimately, when the fights come to an end, especially at the end of the episode, that have fights, you know, it is sort of that very heroic sort of fighting thing. And then, of course, the pose that he does, where he goes and he does the circle, very Hulk Hogan-like, brother. I'm sorry, I just wanted to do brother. Yeah, I love the fights. The fights are absolutely incredible. They're very well thought out. They're more than just punchy-punchy fight. There's tactical thought into what the characters are doing, and, you know, it fits their in-character stories very much. And so I love the fights. The fights are absolutely spectacular to watch, especially, you know, the two fights with Krog, I absolutely love. And the fight with Dr. Manami is wonderful to watch. Finally, we're going to talk about the backgrounds. And this is one of the things I've been very, very excited to talk about. Because while I've talked about my love for certain backgrounds before, especially when it comes to Gundam Wing, none have made me more excited to talk about. And most of that's because the backgrounds themselves, and sort of the location, is America. It's something to where, when this first came out, I was still living in Florida, and I was living in a house. And it was something to where, when I was watching this, I could walk outside my house, and I was literally in the location of Hero Man. Because that's how well they drew it. That's how well they caught America. You know, you had the American U.S. Post Office mail bins. You had cars going the way they do in America, because they do go a different way in Japan and places like England and that stuff. It's one of those things where it was outside my house. And it made me love the backgrounds, and I love just looking at the backgrounds, trying to see what else of America I can find. It's not something that, you know, necessarily, oh, the backgrounds are so beautiful that they overshadow what's going on in the foreground and what's going on with the characters, because it doesn't do that by a long shot. But because it's America, you find yourself, when you're like rewatching this anime after numerous times, you find yourself wanting to go into the background and seeing what can you notice. You know, what shops can you notice? What shops do you notice that are parodies of other shops and all of that stuff? And it's, you know, I just love the locations. I love the backgrounds. They scream America. This, it really shows off what the strength of anime is. And this is what I'm talking about when I talk about this showing the ultimate strength of anime and why it's one of the better animation styles out there and what it can really do. Because as a style, it's not something that's just Japanese. It's something that can be done in Japan and America. And part of that is the backgrounds. And here you see that because it take no other animation style could take you and fully immerse you in America like this anime does. You know, because that's the power of anime. Because of the style, you can be fully immersed and believe that you're in this American location that could be just right outside your door or just around the corner. You know? It's not the tradition. Even when they show a more Western-style house in Japanese anime, it's usually these two-story sort of very Victorian houses. But Joey Jones is like a two-bedroom small house, and he has to sleep on the couch, which I know about having to sleep on the couch for a year because there's not enough bedrooms for all the family members. I know something about that. I know having to turn a dining room into a extra bedroom because there's four people living in a three-bedroom house. And everybody's over the age of 13. It's everything about the backgrounds and the locations scream out America. And I love that. It's one of my favorite things of this series. And like I said, it does such a great job, the backgrounds do, of immersing you in America. With that being said, we're going to move on to story, so we'll be right back with story after a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, my name is Michael Bailey.
And I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And we host a podcast called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast.
Presented by the Superman homepage. On the show... Wait.
What?
This just isn't working out for me. It's not bombastic enough. We need something epic.
Like what?
Welcome to From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast. Presented by the Superman homepage. I am Jeffrey Taylor.
And I am Michael Bailey.
From Crisis to Crisis chronicles the adventures of Superman.
Wait. I'm just not feeling this.
I'm just wondering how there's a needle scratching sound when all of this is clearly digital.
Look, all we need to say is that this is a trailer for a show called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast presented by the Superman homepage. My name is Michael Bailey.
I am Jeffrey Taylor.
And every week we give in-depth synopsis and reviews for just about every Superman book published between Man of Steel number 1 in 1986
and Adventures of Superman number 649 in 2006. We also talk about the related Superman media, what was happening in the rest of the world when these comics were published, and what else was going on in the DC Universe.
The show drops every Thursday-ish at the Superman homepage, which is located at www.supermanhomepage.com.
From Crisis to Crisis is also a proud member of the Superman Podcast Network, located at www.supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
So join Jeffrey and I each week as we explore Superman during the post-crisis era, which includes Exile, Panic in the Sky, Doomsday, The Marriage, and beyond.
and write into the show at FromCrisisToCrisis@gmail.com and hear it read on the air, eventually, because we get behind on that sort of thing.
Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Side effects from Crisis to Crisis include loss of money from buying back issues, a desire to read 20-year-old comic books, nausea, drowsiness, pizza, blurred vision, upset stomach, a desire to kick puppies and kittens, and backache from lifting boxes of Superman comics. If the excitement of From Crisis to Crisis lasts more than 4 hours, seek immediate medical attention.
And we're back with story. First, let's talk about the overall theme, and I've been talking about it the entire episode. And the overall theme is Americana and what makes America, America. We're going into comic books, and we'll talk about comic books and everything in a second. But, you know, again, comic books in the superhero genre are America. You know, whether it be, you know, the fact that this is a superhero genre story, not a mech genre, as Crunchyroll has it. But being that it's a superhero genre story, which is something completely different, and something that is not, that is unique to America and really not something the Japanese do, like I said, I'll get to that in a second. The characters' motivations of why they're just doing stuff, again, a lot of it is based off American values, values that, you know, we as United States citizens value and hold dear. You know, it's the same values we try to. Not like, when I say values, I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, religious and that type of stuff of values, but sort of the core United States values that we all as United States citizens, you know, hold dear. You know, the thing of doing the right thing, standing up when it seems like, you know, all hope is lost. You know, the things that make America, America. You know, a lot of times I just have, and I want to see somebody do an AMV of this, where it's just the image of fights from Hero Man being done with the audio of the, speech in Independence Day in the background. The guy who plays the president, I'm blanking on his name, I apologize, because it's such an awesome speech. And at one point, goes, "Today we celebrate our Independence Day." But, yeah, I mean, Americana, because there's so much pop culture reference in here, and all the pop culture are pop culture references to American things. There's really not any Japanese pop culture, as I'll get to in a second, but it's celebrating America and Americana, and it's one of the reasons why I love this show so much and why I think it will do so well in America, because everything about this show is what makes America great. It's Americana. It's apple pie. It's baseball. It's everything that you love about being American is in this show. And Hero Man and Joey emphasize what the everyday American is. And so I think that's one of the reasons the story works so well for me, being that I'm American. Forget me being an anime fan, but as an American and as somebody from this country, there's sort of a pride thing that it uses that really, really works. And it's not like, it feels like, oh, it's obviously using my pride as American to like this show. It's just like, it's using the natural elements that I, as an American citizen, hold dear to be the core, you know, values of their characters, which was why I love them so much. Next point, again, like I said, we're going to talk about the parodies because we have to. Now, Stan Lee says he only came up with the framework. Well, unless the person from Bones who was writing this stuff is the biggest Marvel fan in Japan, and is also the greatest Stan Lee writing impersonator, Stan, you don't have to shake your ego at the door. You wrote a lot of this. Because if you listen to the dialogue, you listen to the writing style of the story, which, again, the amount of pop culture references, American pop culture references, that's something that, you know, that's Stan Lee's style, the sort of, you know, referencing the events of the day and at the same time making pop culture references. That's very Stan Lee writing right there. You know, and just the amount of pop culture fan service in this, whether it be Don't you mean pop culture references? No, it's pop culture fan service. That's what it is. It's fan service as far as referencing pop culture events. I'm not going to get into that discussion. But, yeah, the pop culture fan service, you know, whether it be, you know, one of the songs being a lot like sort of the Hulk television show song to mentioning alien invasion movies. You know, there's, for instance, there's a dialogue of a scene to where they are talking about what are the aliens' weaknesses. You know, Professor Denton's like, well, this is what I found out. And the Sai's going, well, did you find out any weaknesses? Are they allergic to our germs? Can they not stand the cold? And first couple of times I've watched the series, I didn't get it, but watching this series and really focusing on what they were saying, I went, wait, that's a reference. And when you think about it, can they not stand our germs? That's a reference to War of the Worlds. Can they not take cold? That's, to me, I know that as a reference to the Blob. I can't remember any other alien invasion that, you know, deals with cold other than the Blob. And not just any Blob, the 1956 Blob. Which is, God, that's a great classic horror movie. But, you know, ultimately the proof that Stan Lee wrote this and that, you know, the pop culture references comes, I think it's episode 8, when they're in the sewers sneaking towards the alien base. And there's a scene to where there's a spider, and at the center of the screen, a spider web and the spider, and, you know, there's spiders in sewers. They can be close to the camera and everything in center, and that's not unusual. And there are spiders with bright colors. But when you have an anime that is influenced the framework by Stan Lee, and you can't see me doing air quotation here, and you have a spider in the center of your screen that's bright red and bright blue. I was getting so excited talking to myself. Yeah, that's a reference to Spider-Man. There is no and ifs or buts about that one. And you see all types of comic book and sort of pop culture references all throughout the series. I just gave you a couple of them. To go on another one, there's a part where they're dressed up as detectives and Joey is dressed up as Sherlock Holmes. And people, I've actually had people tell me that Sai is supposed to be dressed up as some detective kid and from Detective Conan, which would be a great reference upon itself. But I actually think he's supposed to be referencing an X-Men character. There is an X-Men character, an X-Men detective, mind you, who dresses exactly like that. So it could be both. It could be one or the other. I don't know. But when I first saw that, especially in this rewatching, I'm like, wait a minute, that's that character from the X-Men. But overall, what this all creates, all these references in pop culture, sort of creates that flashback effect of the, you know, comic books and the stuff that we grew up, you know, before we became anime fans, we were reading comic books or watching comic book animation and that stuff. And so it brought us back to, and it can bring anybody back to sort of that age to where they were doing that stuff, whether they be people who grew up during the 70s and 60s or people who grew up in the 90s or the 1000s. It brings you back to a point where you remember reading comic books. You remember watching, you know, superhero animation. It creates that flashback effect of things that are Americana. Now, again, what they keep talking about is how this is really a superhero genre. And again, this is another reason why I love Hero Man, because, and why I wish it would have done better in Japan, because it is the superhero genre. There really is no other anime that is the superhero genre in Japan. Now, allow me to explain. Since the last time I talked about this about 2 years ago, apparently a lot of people got upset. Allow me to explain. The superhero genre is a distinctive American creation. It's something different because it's based off American values. You know, Japan, do they have heroes? Yes. You know, all countries have heroes. But Japan's heroes aren't superheroes like superheroes are. Superheroes, the genre that's created here in America, is about people who gain powers. You know, they, whether it be a psychic ability or they build an armor or whatever, they gain these powers and they just automatically use them for good. And there is a general sort of easygoing plot line throughout the series. Serious things can happen and things can change. New characters can come in and be the superhero and whatnot, but still, it's a very, not everything's planned out. Okay? In Japan, they have magical girls and they have what's known as masked heroes. But on both of them, while they may be considered heroes, they're not people who are going out and, you know, patrolling the streets and stopping crime or stopping evil organizations. They have one villain, and the series is usually about the story about their struggle and, you know, them fighting against that one villain. But in Japan, you know, the Super Sentai, the Masked Hero series, it's something to where they have one distinct enemy, and they're fighting that enemy. You know, that's their focus, is just solely on that. And once that enemy's defeated, they're no longer heroes. You know, the superhero genre, you know, you can lose your power and things can happen, but overall, the superhero always remains. He'll either die a hero, he'll either do something, but the power always remains. You know, and like I said, again, part of the difference is that the masked hero genre is based off Japanese values about the masked hero. Are they all heroes? Absolutely. But there is a difference between the superhero genre and the masked hero genre that is prominent in Japan. Things like Kanon and Kater and Biobooster or MacGyver. Again, they're masked heroes. They're not necessarily doing things necessarily for what might be the common good, as the superhero genre does. But again, and part of the reason of doing this is because, again, the superhero genre is an American creation. And again, going back to that theme of Americana. And in talking about comic books, we're going to go into a couple comic book things evolving the plot here. One of the things I love the classic comic book romance between Joey and Lena. You know, it's straight out of Spider-Man. Let's not mince any words. Again, it's the everyman getting the hot girl, to an extent. But, again, they show why, you know, he's getting her. You know, which, by the way, this is something that Joe Quesada, Tom Brevoort, Steve Wacker, and Dan Slott, and apparently now Mark Waid, they just don't get about the character since, or at least the character of Spider-Man, since, they think, oh, well, he's nothing but a loser. He shouldn't be with a hot girl. He should be with a four-eyed freak. They show that, you know, when they were kids, how Joey saved her from a dog because he wants to be a hero like his dad, and sort of that own connection he has of wanting to be a hero with his dad, and it imprints and makes Lena admire him, and there's just this natural sort of progression of their relationship between each other, very much like Spider-Man's relationship with Mary Jane. It just feels natural, and again, it's that sort of everyman sort of relationship of, you know, he falls in love with a girl, and he's getting that girl because of his own abilities, not because she feels sorry for him. And I think that's something, again, going back to that everyman connection there, it's something that especially guys can connect to, that idea of, you know, being in love with somebody and being able to have them admire your best traits. But, and yeah, it is. It's the classic sort of comic book romance. They love each other, then there's a point where they don't know if they do, but, you know, Joey says, I love you, and it brings Lena back, and it's all wonderful. then you have the classic comic book alien invasion plot. And I can so imagine this plot being with something like the Skrulls or Brain. You know, and in fact, when I think about it, this is like a Brainiac invasion plot. You know, because really, Brainiac comes, he wants to take all the information in the world and destroys it. Well, Krog basically wants to use the world as nutrients, which is, to an extent, basically the same thing Brainiac does. He knowledge is his sustain it, but Krog basically wants to eat the earth and destroy it. Well, there's no getting away, and it's just America being America, hell yeah, and we're going to fight back and we're going to win, because we're America. But no, it is. It's the classic sort of Silver Age comic book and alien invasion plot. And again, it creates that flashback effect. And to go alongside with that, you have the classic comic book mad scientist plot in Dr. Maname. And again, you know, this is something you wouldn't see in Japan. Just mad scientist just based off ego wanting to destroy Hero Man. You know, there's usually some deeper reason from shows from Japan. And again, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but I love the simplicity of this. He just has this giant ego. He was going to stop the spear, and he didn't. Hero Man did it first. And so now, he wants to destroy Hero Man so that the army will buy his invention, and then he can make other countries buy his invention. You know, it's about money and ego. And he is mad. He is a mad scientist. And he's going to do whatever he needs to do to get his part. And, you know, at the end of the series, spoiler alert, where he gets braked out, again, it's why so many people want a second series. Again, I'm going to go back here to my anime club that used to be a part of. To all my friends there, hey, not that we split ways or anything, but, you know, I moved out of the area. So that's why they're my former anime club. But, yeah, when we watched the series and we got to the end and we saw him break out, everybody's like, oh, there's got to be more of this. There has to be a second series. Because everybody wants to see more of Dr. Minami. And again, it goes back to that. He's the classic mad scientist. And he's absolutely mad, and it's funny to watch. It's funny to watch him lose it. And him pulling out his hair and everything. And of course, his lackeys are funny as hell. I love the lackey that has sort of 3D glasses. Or what look like 3D glasses. That screams out Americana as well. Finally, we're going to move on to what I have as my final note on a story series. And really not with story, but it's with the overall anime itself. And that is, this series has gotten a lot of what I feel is unfair criticism by people who say they won't watch this series. And they don't give it a fair chance. And it's from both anime fans and comic book fans alike. You have comic book fans that won't watch this series because it's too Japanese and it's too anime. And you can't see me on an audio podcast doing air quotations. I don't know why I keep doing the air quotations here. I'm still doing them. I think I just want to be doing the air quotation marks all day long. I don't know why I can't stop. But then you have anime fans, and I'm talking about especially American anime fans, that continuously say, oh, we don't like this. We won't watch this because it's too American. It's too comic book. And it's all ridiculous. It's people sticking to some stupid, like, oh, I only watch anime because anime is better than comic books. Oh, I only read comic books. Comic books are better than anime. And it's this elitist sort of fanboy idiocy. Anybody who watches this series will love this series. And I know that because I've talked to any person I've talked to who's actually watched this series loves the series. It's something they said they would continue watching if it was on TV. They said it's something they said they would maybe consider buying. I've shown this to people who aren't animation fans at all, and they enjoyed it. You know, it's a great series, and for people to be, whose only criticism of it is really the fact that, oh, well, It's not really anime. It's not, it's not anime. It's comic books, or, it's not a comic book. It's anime. It's an anime that's influenced by comic books. It's an American story. It's Stan Lee writing. And if you can't enjoy it, you're too much of an elitist fanboy. And go what's wrong with the industry. I'm sorry. I know I'm making a statement there, which can be seen as a bit elitist of me. But at the same point in time, it really aggravates me when you have these elitist fanboys stand on their soapbox and bash a series they never watched that's really, really good because it's considered anime. And heaven forbid these comic book fanboys watch anything that's anime. And on the other side, these anime fanboys who stand on their soapbox, and heaven forbid they watch anything that's American, because American stories are just so too simple. I need my Dark Death Note, or, Battle Royale. I need blood and gore and monsters apparently turning their hand into blenders and chopping up people gory-wise. It's ridiculous. It's no reason why those people cannot enjoy it. I guarantee you, if they were to really watch this series, they would enjoy it. And like I said, this is a series that can be enjoyed by all types of people, especially in this country, because of the themes of Americana, and just sort of the pride it instills as an American citizen in you about living in this country. Because it is kind of the way that the Japanese look at America. It is kind of a way the entire world, for the most part, looks at America. They look at us with pride. We are the land of the free. We are the land of opportunity. We are the land where everybody else has given up. We're the country that stands up and says, hell no. We're the country that fights back, and we're the country that always wins. And it's how the world looks at us. And it's just this pride that I think everybody can feel in watching the series. So, overall, I numbers 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10. 11 out of 10 for this series. Because it is one of the best anime series. When this came out, I said it was the best anime series since Kaleido Star came out in the down 2003. And it was the first, for me, it was the first anime since Gundam Wing that made me had to be in front of the computer the moment it came out on Crunchyroll. Because it is so excellent. The music is wonderful. The art, the character designs are great. The backgrounds are gorgeous and engaging. The fights are wonderful. The story is just an entire flashback. It takes you back to Silver Age comics and what made comics so popular, going into the 80s and the 90s. That kind of sounded weird, that last sentence, but I mean, the stories of the late 70s and, early 80s, that made comic books popular. Just to verify that, comic book people will know what I'm talking about. But, it really is. It's one of those series. And especially if you're a Stan Lee fan, especially if you're a Spider-Man fan, you will love this series. Because it's everything about what makes what Spider-Man great is, again, brought to this character. And it's so wonderful. And it's also a series that I really think could, I think if those so-called comic book fans would watch this and understand this is what anime is really about, they could start getting into anime. And I think vice versa. This is a perfect series that can get some of those anime fans who think that, American comic books are so simple into comic books. So wonderful series, 10 out of 10, 5 out of 5, perfect score. It is an absolutely wonderful series, and I suggest everybody needs to check out Hero Man at least once, because I guarantee you, once you watch it just once, you'll watch it over and over again, because it's that great. So, that's it for this episode of Tom's Prerogative, right here on the Absolution Network. Thank you for watching. Remember that you can leave comments on the Absolution Network page. I know I don't have iTunes up yet. Oh, I really hope by this weekend I'll have it up. I have to do some things. I have to email the XML feed to somebody and all that stuff and then update it. And you can leave us emails by emailing us at absolution132@yahoo.com. That's absolution132@yahoo.com. So please leave us comments. If you've seen Heater Man, let me know what you think. I really want to know. Send me stuff. If you send me an email, send me a comment. I promise you I will read it on the air unless you don't want me to read it. But please do. Remember to check out all the other 132 production sites. Tokyo SOS, which will hopefully have a new episode out this weekend, since I was supposed to get it out last weekend, which you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. Or you can... I don't know what I'm saying right now. You can also find our stuff over at Comic Book Crazy, like the Comic Book Crazy podcast, which again, hopefully we'll have an episode or two out this weekend. Or Hexcast, which is a podcast that covers every issue of Jim Bilen's Terra, Witch of the Black Rose. You can find that all at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. Remember to check out all our friends on the side, which include Kyle Young's Kaiju Cast, Michael Bailey's Views from the Long Box, Brad Douglas's Spider-Man Crawl Space, Stephen Sheffin's Major Spoilers, Backer the Oracle, Clone Saga Chronicles by my good friend Zach Joyner. The list goes on and on. You know, 2-2 Freaks, which features our good friend Scott Gardner. You heard Promotion Shore. So check them all out on the site. And so again, that's it for this week, my Toonami faithful. Next week, we feature a series that I went on Facebook and said was the greatest American animation since Batman the Animated Series. Oh yeah, it's a series that got me in a little bit of trouble for saying that. It's a series that came out this past summer. And what series is that? Well, I'll give you a little bit of a hint. Thundercats! Ho! So until next time, my Toonami generation, stay gold.
A cursed samurai. You have succeeded again in eluding my effort. But I am not worried. For one day you will fail.
By DJ Clark Nova. Don't sleep on it.